Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one that gives a crap about the rules? More on Major League Baseball cracking down on rules, extensions, and more conspiracy theories on today's Locked On Guardians.
You are Locked On Guardians, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Locked On Guardians. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. I want to thank you for making Locked On Guardians your first listen today and every day where we get podcasts. And then we have your team covered every day. Before we dive into everything, how are you doing on a Thursday evening there, Justin?
I'm doing great. It's been a great day. There was only one World Baseball Classic game today, so that was kind of a disappointment, kind of ruined my day. But, you know, we got March Madness. That's all good. So I'm having a good day. I was having a good day. We'll see how the rest of the show goes. How about you, Jeff?
You know, it's pretty solid. I've been enjoying some of the diving into college stuff. Some of these performers this year. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, the next 2 years look like maybe the best back-to-back top fives we've had in maybe my whole time covering this. So I'm having some fun diving into the college stuff in terms of stuff that is, you know, tangentially related to the podcast.
We will have a college baseball segment at least once a week. I think we're going to do Fridays. It'll be Fridays. We'll record it Thursday. You'll listen to it Friday. In April, that may change. We're just going to try to do it on some off days for the Guardians, because they have every Thursday off except for the opener in the month of April. So, and it goes into May as well. And the first Thursday they play after the opening day is not till May 19th. So a lot of Thursdays to talk about college baseball and prospects and other stuff like that.
And we'll probably throw some in starting next week a little bit more well.
Yes. Not this week. We'll get to it next week. Jeff, I have I don't have my tinfoil hat. Sorry, but
I can put one on for you. I've got it.
Yes. I actually have a follow-up conspiracy theory to your conspiracy theory. So,
is this about Major League Baseball trying to take down Big Rosin?
Yes, Big Rosin. No, it's a conspiracy theory about a conspiracy theory. Ooh. So you talked about Gavin Williams not making his Major League debut in 2023 because of Scott Boras being his agent.
And you know, all the other
40-man. Yeah, the 40-man roster. Yeah. So I saw on Instagram last week that Gavin Williams got his passport. Now you might think, well, Justin, people get their passports. Like, I just got my passport for going to Jamaica in June. Like, people just get their passports because they need to leave them leave the country. But we've seen over the last couple of years, or at least last year, and it was mostly COVID related, but at least one Guardians player could not go to Canada because of a passport issue. Last season when they had to replace James Karinchak on the roster. So they had to flip their plans a little bit on that. So why would Gavin Williams need his passport on March? Next seven months, he is going to be playing baseball in the United States, in theory. Why would Gavin Williams need his passport right now? Couldn't he wait till after the season to get that? He's not going anywhere anytime soon, is he?
I mean, it's a wishful thinking, or it's like maybe he's got some plans, or he's gonna do something fun. You know, I'm not sure when they're facing Toronto this year, but that's the only team outside the country, so it's
schedule says it's all harder to identify now because they don't play him. Play him early on. When do they go to Toronto? Toronto comes to Cleveland in August, but when do they go to Toronto? It's going to take me forever to look at this. Wow.
Well, you know, while you're looking up, I think, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's better to, you know, Boy Scout motto, right? Always be prepared. You know, better to have it than be hosed if something pops up and you don't.
I don't think Cleveland, my schedule doesn't have them going to Toronto this year. That can't be right. I have one of those poster schedules they give out of the games at the end of the year, and I don't see Toronto on the list.
August 25th.
End of August. Yeah, so
end of August.
Interesting that he's got his passport just in case. Be prepared. So
Right before September call-up time.
Yeah, I'm just saying. If he needs his passport for something, what does he need it for?
To go partying. Gonna have some fun and
If he was planning to do something.
Maybe he'll go pitch in a winter league. I don't know.
Yeah, but why?
He's signing a contract with a team in Japan. Breaking news on Lockdown Guardians. He's leaving the Guardians. And he's pulling a Carter Stewart and he's going to Japan. You heard it here first.
I didn't say that. That's all.
That's what Justin just said.
That's all Jeff.
100% what Justin
Jeff Ellis at Jeff MLB Draft said that. Not just.
No, I mean, I think it's just part of being an adult. It could be more to it, but I think more than anything, it's like, hey, just in case. But it's a smart thing to do.
It's just in case. But I thought it was funny when we were talking a couple weeks ago about that, or last week about that, and I was like, he's getting his passport. You never know.
We didn't talk about it directly. Can I do a little bit of a victory lap?
Run, sir. Take your lap.
Last year, everyone was like, oh, no one could have predicted the Eli Morgan thing. And then I was like, except for I did on literally the day he was drafted and him being an effective reliever. And listen, the first player we had as a guest on this show was Hunter Gaddis. A year ago, I talked with him and it really made me dive deep because of him being the first guest. I wanted to be prepared. And at the when his agent reached out to me, I was not prepared to interview him. So I did a deep dive. What was that? But part of it was, I'm like, we'll see if it works as a starter, but I think his future is relief. And I've been kind of pushing that for almost a year now. And I know you've talked about his future being in relief. So this is also your victory lap. It can be a slow walk. How about a slow?
Can I carry a flag? Can I get a flag with me?
Okay. Yeah, we can put Chariots of Fire in the background and just move at the speed of the song.
Okay.
First Mandy Bell had him projected there. I believe she was the first one. And then I saw through Quincy. Well, actually, I saw you through Quincy tweeting that Tom Hamilton had talked about that Gaddis has a chance to make this team as reliever. Listen, he throws harder than Morgan, but his changeup is, I feel like, almost as good as Eli Morgan's. And he's built like he's going to line up at the Browns need another defensive tackle. I see people complain about on Twitter. I've stopped watching football, so I don't know. But he could step into that position. I mean, the guy's huge. Mm-hmm. And velocity jumped last year. It didn't always maintain, but it maintained better than it has in the past. He's gotten better every year. And, it's something you and I have talked about with both Curry and Gaddis. I think I like this move a lot if they are doing it because there are injuries. They need to fill those spots. But it also shows that they realize that they have that good pitching depth we've been talking about. They have, that Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams have made an impression and that they don't need to necessarily keep Gaddis or Curry as starters. They can put him in that relief role if it's going to help this team because the next wave is going to be ready this year.
I agree. I didn't think they'd go that route yet. It's not official yet. There's no guarantee they're going this route, but Gaddis did pitch two innings today out of the bullpen. That's a nice role for him. I mean, if he can be the fastball is a little flat, like the fastball, it's got better velocity now than it did a year ago. And there's some carry to it, but like he doesn't locate it well. And sometimes it just feels like if he leaves it in the zone, it's going to get hammered. Like even if it has carry, it's still, he needs to locate the top of the zone. So in a relief role, the velocity held, like you said, as a starter, he went from going to a guy who was like, I don't know, 90, 94 to a guy who was throwing 94, 95, hitting 96, 97. Now in the bullpen, you would think that he could throw 96, 97 with regularity. Maybe
there's
even
some
harder.
Hedges there, right? Like, when you think about build and what we've seen, like the guy who's hurt is the guy who he kind of reminds me of in some degrees.
Yeah, I mean, Gaddis has a little bit of a stiffer, more violent delivery than Hench's. But, Hench's never really had a third pitch. I don't know if Gaddis really does either. Like, the slider's gotten better over the years. The curveball, I always liked his curveball, which is very slow and loopy. And it got better with the added velocity last year. So, like, even if he has three or four pitches out of the bullpen and he can focus on the fastball and changeup like Eli Morgan – and I don't know if it's a great thing to have guys that are similar in the bullpen like that, but if you're good, you're good. You get outs. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. I'm actually a little stunned that they might go this route. Like we said, it's not official yet, but with the Hench's and Morris injuries, maybe that's not a necessity, but I don't hate that they're going this route. Cause you're right. They don't need all these guys in AAA because your AAA rotation could be Pilkington, Cancelo, Allen. I'm not sure who else, but I mean, if you got enough guys to fill the roles, yeah. You know, I mean, Williams and Bybee should be there. Will they? I don't know. But like, you have enough arms to fill that and backfill the other rotations below them. We didn't talk about it yesterday because we had Brandon on, which if you didn't watch yesterday's episode or listen to it, we kind of went behind enemy lines and talked about Twins versus Guardians in 2023. That was a lot of fun. Appreciate Brandon joining us. But we didn't talk about it. Jason Billis, Terry Francona said a couple days ago to the reporters in Arizona that Jason Billis is going to be in a relief role this year. So Jason Billis won't be a factor. Oh, we did talk about him because we talked about him being sent to AAA. Yes. But
and,
I mean, the reason he's going to go to AAA is because he's going to be a reliever. So he will not be in consideration for rotation job. The only question about this is, and we probably should get back to it on the other side, but who is going to be stretched out enough? Because your only experienced guys, if I don't know, what are they doing with Curry? I'm assuming Pilkington's the sixth starter. Who is your seventh starter? Like, are you just going to have a bunch of multi-inning guys like Morris and Gaddis and Toussaint and Billis and Gant? Like, are all those guys, instead of being starters, are they going to be multi-inning guys and you're going to build your depth that way instead of having like a seventh starter, an eighth starter? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, like I said, we're going to continue this conversation in a moment. We will, I'll throw what my theory is. But first, let's take a moment and talk about our newest sponsor, one of my favorite sponsors right now. Again, I've probably spent another hour today playing Ultimate Baseball GM. And it is a app I played before. They were a sponsor, and I continue to play it now. I'm competing with all the other Locked On MLB hosts. The winner of this prize contest, by the way, is a $650 amongst all the hosts. So we'll let you know how we're doing as we compete with everyone else. I'm waiting for it to pop up. I assume I might have a pretty big lead right now with the fact that I'm up to the year 2036 and just won a World Series with the Guardians. So we'll see if anyone else.
Hopefully, we won before.
Quite as high as that. What, again, remember in this game, if you haven't tried it, so you start off in a story mode where the old manager had basically been the Astros, and the return on the thing is the owner refuses to sell the team, so you get kicked out of your stadium and you basically have to start over and rebuild everything, and you're the worst team in baseball by a mile. So the fact that I won in 20 years with essentially starting off with an A-ball team is not the worst thing. But yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. It's not OTP, which I also love, and I don't say it as a negative because it's the perfect thing to play on your phone. It's a quick pick-up, play, have fun, mess around with it. Big advice to you, align your coaches. Do not spend money on free agents. Take a very Cleveland Guardians draft and develop approach. Spend your money to get your stadium from Thurman Munson and Canton to, you know, Jacobs Field is what I was going to call it, even though it's Progressive Field now. But right now, Locked On listeners, you get 100% free booster franchise when you use the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseball.com, scan the code, or look it up on app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. So, you know, I think as you're talking, the thing with Billis, it's kind of fascinating to me. Like, the minute that was announced, I'm like, okay, put him in the pen. Like, when he's, and maybe I'm just too guilty of throwing guys in the pen. Like, that was literally my write-up on him on draft day. Like, when he got drafted, I'm like, oh, this is a guy who, he would have got more money out of high school. He was a Delaware kid than he got when he left Coastal Carolina. The development wasn't there for him, and I thought the White Sox are a great place to kind of work on some of that development, work with control command. And I was like, you know, he could be a really interesting reliever. And for whatever reason, the White Sox just were so hesitant. I don't know if he ever worked more than a handful of times out of the pen. So I'm glad Cleveland's like, no, this is his future. This is his best opportunity. Much like Trevor Stephan was essentially only a starter with the Yankees. He hadn't really worked out of the pen until they brought him to Cleveland. And they're good about identifying and working with guys. And I'm kind of still a little bit excited about Billis. He feels like the classic, and maybe I'm giving him too much credit, or I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but every year they seem to fix a reliever. And Yale, who was mostly a starter before, they do very well with Jason Billis types. And I, you know, you and I have our DMs, and I was like, you know, he may not be the first one. He may not be the roster fodder when they need a catcher. There's enough interesting things there. I'll be curious to see. But I think the other thing for me too, with all of this is like, I think Gattis's future is in the pen. I said I think he could be a 10-year guy in there. But I also think a lot of this also has to do with the strong belief. Those young kids.
Yeah. I mean, if you put Gattis in the pen, your AAA depth is Cantillo or Pilkington's your first call.
Yeah.
Curry, I suppose. And you've got Cantillo after that, Logan Allen, Peyton Battenfield. And then you could possibly get one or two of the guys from AAA last year in addition to Cantillo in the rotation. They haven't done a 6-man rotation in mm-hmm. Columbus because of just wanting to keep guys on 5-man rotations to call them up. But at the lower levels, they've been doing 6-man rotations. But
and I wonder if they would stream like a Battenfield for a game. Like if they need to, like if he's a sacrificial lamb type too, where they're not.
Maybe. But I mean, he's not in the 40, so you have to make something happen. But
yeah, but
you know, if you've got guys like Gattis and Billis and Toussaint working as multi-inning relief guys, and Toussaint's not in the 40 either. I don't think he's making this. No. I don't think they even said had any chance to make the roster out of spring training. They were doing a lot of work with him, and he has kind of struggled with his control this spring. But I don't know. We were going to start talking this week about roster projection. Let's see if we can fit it in here. So
I project they will take 26 men to camp. Done.
To Seattle? I think that makes sense. Yes. Well, are you counting the coaches? Just 26 people to
just to 26 Seattle? People. Terry's going to play DH like he did at Arizona.
I mean, Nelson Cruz was the DH / outfielder there night for Dominican Republic. He was Roger Dorn.
So well for them.
It really did.
They lived up to all expectations.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that game. That was a disaster. I'm not listening to any World Baseball Classic slander or theories based on the Edwin Diaz.
Should I get up and limp across the floor? Is that a bridge too far?
I'm not going there.
Can we not have? Here's my thing. I am going to do the thing you have. I'm going to jump in. I'm not going to slander the World Baseball Classic. Can we stop doing the jumping up and down on people? Can we just like not have that jump up and down celebration? Like, how many guys have gotten hurt from that? More than people get hurt from the World Baseball Classic, it feels like. I don't know. Like, I feel like that whole. I understand that's a very common thing to do, but man, this isn't the first time that has happened.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a stab at the roster projection for the first time. We're still 2 weeks out. I think the easiest part to go with is the starting pitching. You've got Beaver, McKenzie, Contrell, Savali, and Plesac in case, unless there's an injury that pops up there. So I don't think we don't have to spend any more time on that.
I think catcher might be even easier than that.
Catcher, yeah, Zunino. Actually, interesting. Roster Resource has Zach Collins. I don't see that happening.
Roster Resource isn't great for this. I wouldn't like. I go to Roster Resource daily. I like them a lot, but they put those lists together based on just like I don't know what they put together on.
I think we both agree after the comments. It's Gallagher after the comments there. So there's your catching. That's easy. So in the infield, you've got Rosario, you've got Jimenez, you've got Jose, you've got Bell, and you've got Naylor. I think Gabby Arias is making this team. He hit the crap out of the ball in spring training, and you know Andre told us when he was on a few weeks ago that I think the light bulb was going off for
he's this Gabriel. Year's U10.
Oh, so he's going to be the star of the 2027 World Baseball Classic. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, I just, I believe in him. I think he's ready. I agree with everything Andre said. I just don't want people to like expect huge things. That's all. Like he's going to have limited opportunities, especially in the early going. And when that someone kind of sits a lot, it can be harder for them to pick it up when it's time. Like the start of the year, I don't know how often he's going to play.
It is hard. So we'll see how they manage that. So that's our seven infielders. And if Arias gets in the game, the outfield, I don't know. That's your seven infielders. So you got 12 between the pitching staff and the infielders. You got your two catchers. So that's 14. Your outfield, I don't know. Okay, obviously Kwan and Straw and Gonzalez are on this team. So what are we at? I stopped being able to do math.
The 7, 10, 15. That'd be 15 total right there, right? With those three, the 7 infielders, 5 starters, 7 infielders, and 3 outfielders would be 15.
Yeah, 2 catchers okay, so got the 3 outfielders. I think Will Brennan's making the team. I am a little bit nervous about the whole Roman Quinn thing, I have to say.
It's so hard to find another spot.
It is, but like Will Brennan has not played any games in center field this spring. And I know Cleveland has said they don't want to use Stephen Kwan in center, or they haven't said it directly, but people have said they feel like they don't want to use Kwan in center field, which I agree with. I don't want to use Kwan in center either, but I would like to see Will Brennan get some time. Maybe they feel like he doesn't need the reps, but you'd think he'd play there once or twice. He hasn't. The only guy that's really backing up at center field, like Valera played a little center before he got hurt, and then Roman Quinn has played center. So like now I'm a little bit nervous for Will Brennan because they've only had him in right field in the spring training. Maybe he's played some left. I don't know. But really, he's been a corner. And he's got to take at bats away from Oscar Gonzalez. And I just feel like that's going to be a challenge. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous. Like I think Will Brennan should be on the roster. I think Will Brennan should. We did that. We did the at bat projection thing before, how to get all these guys playing time. I think Will Brennan between DH and left field and center field, or right field and center field, should get 400 plate appearances. But I'm a little bit nervous now. I don't know. Should I be nervous?
Potentially, because here's the other side of it. If there is a big chunk of at-bats, it is easy to get a big chunk of at-bats, but if they decide that it is not Brennan that's going to get the big chunk, if they decide it's Gabby Arias who's going to essentially play versus lefties and be that guy who's platooning and playing outfield spots and playing infield spots, then they might decide they'd rather have Brennan start the year and get more reps in AAA.
Who is Arias platooning with? Because you have that open spot where Naylor's not playing lefty. So you have are you putting Arias at DH? Are you saying?
Well,
or first base and you're DHing
Bell. So I would think he plays lefties? Well, I would think maybe he plays third with Jose DHing against lefties. And then, occasionally you maybe have him going out in the outfield against a few righties, or being that kind of guy who gives someone a breather. They move them around. If they decide that, like, okay, we got 400 spare, you and I both had about 350 to 400 at bats for Will Brennan across things, and maybe 100, 150 for Arias. If they decide that, well, we'd like to get closer to 350 for Arias, then there's not as many at bats, and they might decide they want Brennan to just get reps. I mean, I think he makes the team, but I'm just being devil's advocate here.
I mean, this is the most we've talked about a roster bubble all spring training, because for the last month since they've been at camp, we're like, all the roles are decided, doesn't matter. And now it just feels like, I don't know, like, I don't know how they feel. I know how they feel about Will Brennan, but I don't know how they feel about him on the roster as it stands. And I think he's got to be a major leaguer this year. I just don't want to see, because they don't have at bats for him. Like Andre said, this is what Rick Manning said. Is it better for Will Brennan to get, 500 bats in AAA, or is it better for him to get 350 or whatever in the majors? And it's probably the major league at bats, because he has nothing left to prove in AAA, but they don't want him sitting too often, which also says they care about him, because if they didn't care about him, they let him sit on the bench and they let him just play once a week and they'd say it doesn't matter. And that's what they would probably do to Roman Quinn if he makes the roster. But it's like, that's not the best version of this roster. Like, find a way to make it work with Oscar and Will and Straw and Kwan. Like, that's your best guy. And I realize that we're talking about opening day and things will change. And just because Will Brennan goes to Columbus for opening day doesn't mean he won't get more. Like, Roman Quinn's not going to get more at bats this year than Will Brennan. I feel good about that. But I'm like, I still don't want to see that happen coming out of spring training. And now I'm just a little bit nervous. So that's my only confusion there. I think Arias makes the team. I think Freeman does not. And then in the bullpen, you've got Class A, Karinchak, Stefan. Sandlin looks healthy. De Los Santos is pitching. He's healthy. Morgan. And then Heron and Gattis, I think, is how it goes. I think Heron and Gattis, with the injuries to Henches and Morris, I think both those guys will make the team.
Yeah, it is logical to me. We need to take break number two at this point in the show. We still have extensions, not the hair type, the type for players, as well as some rules that were popping today.
Maybe we might need an extra yeah. Some bonus time today. We might need to do that. We'll see.
Might have to pull out the bonus episode for Saturday as well on the show. Maybe we throw some college into that too. So make sure tuned in. But first, let's talk about the NBA playoffs are near. And it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Safe, secure, and super easy to use. And you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained, bet the over on the Guardians. That is our go-to. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet or a same-game parlay. Remember that no-sweat first bet is up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the MLB. Go ahead.
Do you have anything on the roster before we move on to end the show?
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's what you talked about. Roman Quinn is like, he's nice as a 26 man. I won't lie. He's the perfect like last bench guy because he's a really good defender. He's got a decent arm and he runs like heck. And we think running is going to be valuable. So he'll probably never be more valuable than the start of the year where teams are adjusting to the new roles. Like his value is going to be peak in the first 2 months. So, but it's just, what are you going to do? Unless Morris is going to start the year on the 60-day DL again, unless you're moving Valera to the 60-day DL like they did with Vargas, like unless those things are happening, you're going to have to cut Palacios and Billis to add a catcher and someone. So it's, you know, like those are the only guys that really resemble roster fodder to me on the roster. There's not a lot of wiggle.
Yeah, it's Palacios. We didn't talk about him at all. Yeah. So that me. We're going to do, maybe we'll talk about this on the post show or the bonus.
Yeah. Episode. I mean, he's the 26 man over at, like if Brennan doesn't make the team, then it's gotta be him. But then again, the problem
about, can't play center either.
And he can't, I mean,
can he
play anywhere? It's the World Baseball Classic made it seem like, and what we've heard talking with scouts and other people is a lot of people seem to think that he is so, pinch hitter DH.
Let's save the rule. We were talking about rule changes today, but we still will. Maybe we should. I did say that. So let's talk about rule changes. Maybe the Shane Bieber thing goes in the bonus show. Jason Stark.
I don't know if we have enough time. Let's save the rule changes because that'll be a longer thing. And let's just talk about one part of the rule chain. Let's do this one. Let's do sunscreen, then let's do extension, and then we'll save the other bits. The minor league stuff. Okay.
First of all, I hope everybody got my intro today. If you haven't seen, you didn't or did?
Did not.
Well, if you've seen The Big Lebowski, you would know it.
Okay, so this is going to get me in such trouble. I enjoy the film, but I'm not like gaga about the film. Like, I'm the one person who's not like a love or hate with that movie. Like, if it's on, I totally will watch it, but like, I definitely can't quote it.
Yeah, I. That one, I just kind of off the top of my head, it was memorable to me. But Rule 13, sunscreen. That's from Zombieland, if anybody hasn't gotten that one either. But, yeah, Jason Stark had an article the other day about the rule changes, and they're talking about how umpires are going to be more vigilant about checking for sticky stuff, and, you know, sunscreen is part of that. Like, sunscreen's not really sticky stuff. I don't know. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but MLB sounds like they're going to be doing more random checks. They're trying to make it unpredictable. So guys, you know, are following the rules and look, the data backs it up. Like, you know, Sarah's had a piece a few weeks ago that said after like, I don't know, June or July last year, the spin rates started going right back up to where they were before. So either pitchers weren't afraid of the checks or they were finding a way around it. I don't know what was going on. So Major League Baseball claims in a memo, they are going to tell umpires to crack the whip back down on this stuff. And I said it before, I'm not going to be happy if they somehow try to find a way. And this is not James Karinchak specific. This is any pitcher. But if they find a way to police sweat and rosin, like everybody sweats. And I know you're going to say if guys try to get sweatier, we're talking about guys getting sweaty on this podcast. That's weird. If they're trying to intentionally sweat more to get the grip and to mix it with rosin, they're circumventing the whole point of the rules. And then sunscreen, like, okay, there is a point with sunscreen where it's a little stupid. Like, you can't be using sunscreen for a 7 o'clock game. I realize the sun is still out at most 7 o'clock games, but not bad enough where you need it for the whole game. But if we're talking about like, you know, a 1 o'clock getaway day or a Sunday game when in the middle of July, how can you tell a guy, yeah, you can't wear sunscreen. Sorry, it's illegal. Okay, well, then when Major League Baseball has a bunch of players getting melanoma and skin cancer, they're going to be sued for that. Like, the NFL is sued for concussions. Like, I don't know. I'm fine with policing the rules a little more, and I'm not really super concerned, to tell you the truth, about Cleveland or anybody. I know you know, we'll see what happens. But I think it's just so ticky-tack to, I know that's a weird pun, but to police on sweat and rosin and sunscreen. Sunscreen to a point, but sweat and rosin, again, I don't like it.
So here's the to me, the two central points with this are one, how ridiculous were the old rules where it's like, oh, after, I can't remember what inning it was. Like, they would check the same inning every game. So, like, you could look to the inning versus inning data and see, like, that's the inning that the spin rate dropped for this pitcher. You can almost see who was cheating by just looking. And, you know, there were a few guys who tried to explain it off, but it was pretty, for some guys, it was very agrarian, not agrarian. That's a type of economy. Agrarious. Nope, that's not it either.
Egregious.
It was egregious. Thank you. And for, see, people, it doesn't matter. Like, my pronunciation issues will always be here. But I think the thing is, like, watching for people who are trying to circumvent the system. And I think there are players who do. And I think, you know, they are going to try to catch guys who are circumventing the system. And they're going to try to figure out, you know, looking at a combination of things, and they're going to be more thorough in these searches, and they're going to be random, and they can happen at any time. And, you know, I'll be curious to see who gets caught, because listen, players are cheating again. It's always the humor of it. Like, players are cheating baseball from the beginning of baseball. It's like, you know, we still get mad about steroid users and we'll put them in the Hall of Fame, but like, the Houston Astros won their championship. We got, you know, quarter of the league right now messing with baseballs to increase their spin rate. Like, Gaylord Perry, you know, was the only Indians pitcher to win a Cy Young for a long time, is in the Hall of Fame as like one of the faces of cheating. You know, it's just, it's funny what lines we draw with this game in terms of like what cheating is cheating gone too far. And yeah, like 99 is going to be the one. He's going to be on every list. So he is going to get more checks than probably any other pitcher. It's going to be interesting. You know, I think we'll have to save it for our bonus episode, but it even feels like they're messing with baseballs to try to make the grip easier so they can move away from big rosin, as I was joking at the start of the show, because, you know, that they know that this sweat and rosin combo is working as a way to, you know, junk up the baseball. And, you know, I do think it's interesting that, like, 99 from throwing some warm up always came in with like an inch of sweat on him. I think they're going to, you know, I think he was.
That's, you know, ticky-tack. Sorry.
It is, but like, that's what they're going for. Like, but at the same time, like, is it ticky-tack or if he is legitimately making himself extra sweaty so he can make a combo with the rosin because he did have bad spin rate data when they went away? Like, is it ticky-tack or is it like he is also circumventing the rules?
It's not spider-tack. Okay, it's ticky-tack, not spider-tack.
It's ticky-tack, but like, it's circumvention of rules is circumvention of rules. You know, I guess that's my question. And yeah, I don't know. I don't have a you know, it's like, I'm kind of all for this because, right? Like, let's see Gerrit Cole not be as effective next year, please. Like,
as effective last year. He was a lot of home runs.
But then he got better towards the end when things, you know, and he was better for the postseason and all that stuff. So it's like, because frankly, it's like, if 99 isn't as effective, it stings, but it is probably more helpful if we view this as a playoff team, if Gerrit Cole isn't effective later in the year, than if 99 isn't effective later in the year. So I'm all for this, just in the idea that I think it might hurt other teams more than Cleveland.
Yes, I agree. I'm not too worried about Cleveland. We'll see what happens. We don't have time for the World Baseball Classic update today, but that's okay.
It stinks. I'm kidding.
I'm going to walk off the show at some point, man. Telling you, I will not have slander of the World Baseball Classic.
I watched half an inning of the Czech Republic. That's about as much as I've gotten in.
We're going to get you there. There's no update because no Cleveland Guardians played. It was Japan and Australia, and Australia got sent home, and Shohei Ohtani kicked butt. So,
but yeah, we'll have our bonus episode. We still got some minor league rules to talk about. We want to talk about the Shane Bieber, not expansion, but let's expand Shane Bieber into more
places. That might be cheating.
Bieber expansion. It's a personal pet project of mine, the Shane Bieber expansion project.
Rick Moranis.
Yes. Honey, I blew up my ace. There we go. That's the title. That's going to be our title for Friday's episode. Honey, I Shrunk Our Ace. Honey, I Blew Up the Ace. I've never actually seen Honey, I Blew Up the Baby in terms of like...
I'm done. Get us out of here.
We're going to talk about the expansion. Man, I did it again. The extension, not the expansion, the extension article that came up with Eno Saros. Rule changes. And we will get into some of the college game on our Saturday bonus show. So make sure to check that out as well. Remember, those are more of a fun time chat while we work on Friday's show and discuss things around baseball. So it'll be fun. Tune in. Thank you for watching, downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing. Someone throw an iTunes review. It's been about a month. It's always good to have those pop up on there. And go, go, Guardians, go. Go review.